This is Writer's Cast, a podcast about books and authors. I'm your host, David Wilk. Today I'm talking to Tatiana Soli, who's the author of a book called The Lotus Eaters. It's a novel that's set in Vietnam in about 1975, at the end of the war, and it's a pretty powerful piece of writing. Hi, Tatiana. How are you?
Hi. How are you, David?
Good. Well, this book came out in March, so you've had a couple of months now to have responses to it. Maybe we could talk a little bit about the book first, and then I want to ask you some questions about what it's been like. Your main character is a war photographer who gets to Vietnam in 1965. So the story starts in 1975 when the war is just about coming to an end, and then you kind of flash back to when she first arrived and tell the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you're not of that era, so this was all kind of literally foreign territory for you.
It was.
Yeah, I know you did. There's a tremendous amount of research referred to in the back. You've got a kind of bibliography, even as if as people do with nonfiction books. Maybe you could talk a little bit about what prompted you, what captured you to, in the Vietnam War era and this main character, Helen, what got you so involved in Vietnam?
Oh, sure. It's funny, when the book first came out, they referred to me as the young writer who had the bibliography in the back. So that was how they identified my Vietnam book. So I feel like I have to explain. I think I'm one of the first people who treated it as a historical subject instead of a person who has been there and experienced it. When I was a little girl, my mom worked as an interpreter at NATO in Naples, Italy. And so we were around the military a lot, and then she got another job at Fort Ord in Monterey, California. So we were there in the late 60s, and we were surrounded by the military. And so even though I was a small child then, my playmates, their fathers were being shipped out. My mom was involved in, it's a huge upheaval with people going in and out and also people not returning from Vietnam. So I kind of was fascinated all my life about the subject matter, and I had always been interested in reading about it and trying to understand it. I guess when you have a limited understanding as a child, you want to try to fill it in as an adult.
So, and I guess that prompts another question, since you're originally from Italy?
I was born in Salzburg, Austria, but I spent, my mom worked at NATO for several years.
So, did you learn English as a child?
I actually learned my first English when I was about five at a British school in Italy, and then when we moved here and got our citizenship, that's when I had the serious immersion in English.
Right. So, in a way, you are writing in English as, I mean, it's not quite a second language for you, but it's close, that you really were not a native speaker initially.
That's true. I mean, I view myself that way, but I think a big strain of the book is about the, of people, leaving and the immigrant experience, and so that's very close to my heart because my family has gone through the same thing.
Well, it just in terms of writing, I think your writing is, really great. It's the novel is very dense and yet clear at the same time. You shift, you shift viewpoints pretty smoothly, I think. I read a couple of the reviews of the book, which in fact I disagreed with in some way. I think that there were, some parts which the reviewers thought were problematical. I didn't have a problem at all with the shifting viewpoints of characters.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was pretty clear for me that you were setting the scene for our understanding of how your character got to where she was at that point, where the war was in, where she was going through a big change, And that would be a time when she would kind of be looking at, that it would make sense for her to be looking at who she is and how she got there. But, and of course, the book is really, in a lot of ways, a multi-level love story, because your main character has this, these two or three, or there actually are three or four different people that she has relationships with through the book. And one of the most important ones is this other photographer who, in a sense, becomes her teacher for how, you know, or guide, and, you know, kind of initiates her into what it is to be a war photographer, and which is a big part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So, and maybe you could talk a little bit about how war photography worked for you, you know, what that enabled you to do as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a visual, the photographer is seeing images, whereas the writer is writing images.
Yeah, when I first got this idea to write about the war, I wanted to explore different things than what I had read before, and I came across a picture of Dickie Chappelle, and she was there at the very beginning of the conflict. And I didn't know that women had covered it back then. I mean, obviously, the sexism then, that was considered too dangerous of a job for a woman to be involved. And there were a few women that kind of bullied their way onto the stage and wanted to do that. And what interested me is, first of all, that a woman would have to fight to do a difficult job, to even get the job, and then you have to go through the process of learning how to do this incredibly, incredibly amazing job where you are in danger, and you also have an artistic, you have to be skillful at what you're doing, and then you have to get in and out and not get yourself killed. I immediately wanted to write about a photographer instead of a journalist, because the visual, the having to be there and having to be close and having to push yourself, sometimes the journalist can get their story and stay in Saigon. They don't have to go out into the field. And so I wanted to get, first of all, the requirements of the job, that you have to be out there constantly at the very forefront of the danger. And also, as a writer, the visual helps to bring me into the story, and so I think it would also help my reader to visually see it.
Well, and it's a very, there is, you know, one thing about the war in Vietnam, which was very powerful, is that so much of that war was documented by photographers, by news filmmakers and, you know, the news cameras, in a way that probably was the most documented war in history. I think, you know, I would say parenthetically, the military and the politicians decided after that war that they would never let that happen again to the scale that it did, because it was too raw and too powerful, that the images which were captured by the photographers and by the news camera guys, really conveyed back to the civilian population what was happening. Sometimes, potentially, you could say, distorted it, because only the most powerful images would be selected, because they would be the ones that the magazines and newspapers wanted for the most visceral impact. But in another way, it's the most honest presentation of the war, because you have all of these powerful images of war that a population that's separated from those events would otherwise not understand.
Oh, absolutely. It's actually, I think that was part of the reason that I was fascinated with the war. It was the first time that the press had just total unfettered. I mean, if you could get in a car, you could go out to the battle scene and you could take whatever pictures you saw there, and there was very little censorship. The only censorship was probably the amount of graphicness in the photographs. But I think because the photographers had that kind of freedom, and for my character, she had that kind of freedom, and so that's how I thought that she could explore place, and that was one of my main goals, is to explore the country and to explore the Vietnamese people and what was happening there. And maybe it's not on purpose, but now with the embedded photographers, because they're traveling with the military, because they're limited and they can't go into the population the way they did. I've seen the contemporary photojournalists talk about that it is a limitation on their work. So it was a fascinating time of freedom to write about besides everything else.
Right, I thought about, you know, I know that it's fiction, so you made a lot of stuff up, but I
sure.
think you were very careful to be historically accurate in a lot of ways. You know, in other words, the literal specific events may not have happened, but they could have happened.
Exactly, yeah.
And one of the things that I thought was really striking, you know, probably the most famous photograph of the Vietnam War is of the man being executed in the street by, I think it was a captain in the Vietnamese, probably the South Vietnamese Army,
mm-hmm.
SVA, shooting this guy in the street. And that was captured and kind of was just incredibly powerful, you know, for people to see. And I think you have a scene in the book which is a similar kind of photograph. It's about an execution,
mm-hmm.
which also, you know, you didn't stop the book and say, oh, what an amazing photograph. You know, you didn't draw too much attention to it, but I think it stood out as, you know, one of those developments that can, you know, where you have the ability, because you're in a place where all of these incredibly powerful things are going on, you have the camera, you have the ability, if you're able to frame your view of things and be lucky, to present some pretty brutal and incredible imagery.
Yeah, it's amazing when you think of when you think back of the war and the famous pictures that you've seen, you see that war photographically and the different changing, the change in mood. The pictures get a lot, you know, more violent and a lot more disturbing as the war went on. And you don't have that same progress in wars that were photographed before that. Before that, it was much more limited, and you don't have these real striking images that kind of would make you maybe against the war.
Well, although I think, you know, the Civil War was the first photographed war,
mm-hmm.
and there are some pretty incredible photographs. Now, I think a lot of those photographs were never shown to people
mm-hmm.
contemporaneously. I think they've come, you know, we know about them now, but I think a lot of those photographs, you know, there was no mechanism for yeah. publishing photographs in newspapers at that point. They couldn't do it.
And the technology was so difficult, they had to take their time, they had to set up, the picture
right.
took a while to get, so they couldn't have a natural action scene while it was happening. They kind of had to stage it or had to be after the battle.
Right, they could take pictures of dead people and,
yeah.
and wounded, but not of a battle going on or of people doing something heroic
mm-hmm.
and, you know, while it was active. And of course, you know, I don't want to give away the story because I think that's not fair to people who haven't read the book. You know, there are a lot of characters. There's a lot of complexity. She's in Vietnam for 10 years and has a relationship with a very complicated Vietnamese character, a man. What I thought was really, there were a lot of things that I thought were interesting about the book. I think you evoked that feeling of the war very powerfully, and also of the complexity of life in Vietnam for the Vietnamese, that, you know, even though the viewpoint of the book is primarily an American who's an outsider, she, like, you know, perhaps other characters who are in other novels that I can think of who have entered into this world of someone else's culture, she really engages.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, very important for you, I think, to be able to make her her life there transformed.
Mm-hmm.
Is that she has to become part of the place, and it becomes part of her. So it's sort of like a Heart of Darkness, where she becomes imbued with the spirit of Vietnam.
Yeah, that was really important to me. I wanted to really have people go away with an understanding of the place so that it would not be a war novel that would be interchangeable and it could happen in another country, it could happen in a vacuum. I mean, from the standpoint that I'm having, and because I'm have more of a distance from the subject, I wanted it to be more all inclusive of different points of view.
Right, and it's not a war novel where the lesson is this is what happens in war. It's really more about that particular war in that particular place.
Yeah.
You know, of course, Vietnam was a battleground for many, many years, as it was, you know, both an independence movement that was trying to throw off the colonial yoke of the French. Even before that, you know, they had to contend with Chinese and, you know, other people coming through and taking over their place. So, you know, I had a really strong feeling for not only the physical beauty of the place and the damage that was done to it, but this sort of sense of both fatalism and anger that that people in Vietnam must felt at that point.
What's fascinating about Vietnam is they have a love-hate relationship with the U.S., and even now in contemporary Vietnam, they love American culture, and there's no bitterness that, you know, that you might expect from. I mean, it's been a long time, but there's very little bitterness about the war. But even back then, I think they had, I wanted to show that with the character Lynn, that they, even though it was a colonial, they didn't want the Americans to be in their country. They did, you know, reach out and like the Americans, a lot of them, especially the South Vietnamese, because they spent such a long time getting to know Americans and American culture.
Right. Well,
and historically, Vietnam reached out to the U.S. before they decided to go communist. So it's fascinating. It's how history keeps on repeating itself.
Well, it's true, and it shows you the complexity of relationships between people of different cultures, that, you know, not every American went to Vietnam and treated people there poorly, or, you know, were unable to relate to the people that they were around. Some, and similarly, not every Vietnamese would end up hating Americans or hating foreigners. They would
mm-hmm.
have relationships with them. It was, you know, pretty complex.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that really stood out for me, and again, I don't think I'm giving away too much here, but at the end of the book, as part of the leaving of Vietnam, you have a scene in Cambodia that was just overwhelmingly powerful for me. And I couldn't, you know, I haven't escaped it yet. It was really, you know, because we forget about the Khmer Rouge, and or I think a lot of people have forgotten about the Khmer Rouge and what incredibly horrible things happened there.
And what's fascinating about that is that because there were no images, because they, you know, had the blackout of the press, you don't remember that. I mean, we have, you know, the artifacts of that war now, you know, the museums and the photographs, but we don't see it where we can pretty much document, and we can see every year of Vietnam because it was being recorded.
That's true,
but
and
it's
also
just,
because
it's fascinating. It's like if it's not recorded, then it becomes invisible.
Right, it almost did. Well, and the other part of it is that for America and the West in particular, there was a denial of anything going on there as a way of not becoming involved,
mm-hmm.
that we had just spent 10 years being involved in Vietnam in a really big and, you know, maybe for a lot of us, maybe not a good way.
Mm-hmm.
It would be very difficult for Americans at that point to try to even engage emotionally, spiritually, psychologically with what was going on in Cambodia.
Absolutely.
So it was sort of a kind of cultural denial and making it invisible so that we didn't have to deal with it. Because if we knew what was going on, that was a genocide that was on the, you know, pretty much for the number of people that lived in that country, that may have been the biggest genocide in the history of the world.
It is absolutely amazing.
It's incredible. And of course, it, you know, I felt like it was like a little pull on my spirit at the end of the book. And I'm not sure quite, I haven't quite figured out how to reconcile it. You know, there's the heroic Helen takes one risk too many, and it's just a almost miraculous that she doesn't end up dead. So I won't give away any more of it. But I wanted to ask you, in, you know, just in terms of the responses that you've gotten to the book, I'm kind of curious, you know, whether, especially from people who were in Vietnam. Have you heard from people who were there then, particularly veterans or journalists, you know, photographers, the people that were involved? Just how does the book strike them? You know, how do they react to it?
I've actually heard from quite a few, a lot of women that had husbands serving or uncles, fathers, and they said that, you know, obviously when you come back from the war, if you're lucky enough to come back, they don't want to talk about it. And so they said this was an incredible book for them because they understood the war in a way that they wouldn't have otherwise, just because of the viewpoint being an outsider, not being a military book. So that was really nice. And I've heard from some women who have served in the Gulf Wars, and they said that reading the book helped them kind of clarify their thoughts and their scribblings in their notebooks and their memories of what going through the Gulf War was like. It's kind of a marginal, being a woman and dealing with that type of subject matter. I think people feel maybe like theirs isn't the main story. And so I've had a lot of people contact me and say that this is really meaningful for them. And they also like that she was a very powerful woman and kind of made her own destiny, especially back then.
Well, she was definitely a fully empowered woman, although it was never easy for her.
No, and I didn't want to make her a superhero type woman like a G.I. Jane where it wasn't not hard.
Right, or even that she did things. In other words, it doesn't even become clear that what she went through, how do I want to say it, that in other words, that she doesn't come out having been through all of this as a superwoman either. Mm-hmm. That she still suffers, that she still does not fully comprehend even after going through all of this. You know, it's not the end point of her transformation of being into a person. It's just part of her life.
So many of the journalists, you know, in research, I researched the journalists that were in Vietnam, but also, you know, ones that covered more current wars and the burnout rate and the price that it takes on you and how a lot of them quit the profession. It's fascinating. I mean, you can't do that type of work and not have it affect you. You can't stay detached from it.
Well, although there was this interesting, that kind of raises another interesting point, and that is the bravado of the Sam Darrow and even some of the others, this idea that as journalists and photographers, it was the danger and the kind of rush of being involved in something so powerful as war, that war is this incredible machine that they wanted to be part of, even if they weren't necessarily shooting guns, they were part of the machinery. And that you said at one point, you know, one of the characters, I think it was the Sam Darrow character, says, you know, there'll always be another war, so when this one ends, we can go to Algeria or we can go to the, you know, Palestine or wherever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I didn't feel that was what was going to happen with Helen, that she mm-hmm. was not going to go and do this again. It wasn't that she was addicted to war or thought that the, you know, the power of the heightened experience of fear and courage was really what was motivating her. I think it was much more complicated than that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then she has this relationship, so she may... You know, you wonder about characters, you know, where will they go next? Is, you know, does she end up being a journalist or does she somehow have to do something different because there's no going back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one journalist that fascinated me was Catherine Leroy. She was a French photojournalist, and she had spent significant time in Vietnam, and then she went on to cover a couple other wars. And then she had covered the bombing of Beirut, I think, in the early 80s. And then and after that, just I think it was accumulation. She just never did it again. She became just totally dropped the whole profession. And she had won lots of stuff, but I think she just had enough.
Well, you can imagine at that point, it's not just photography. You're taking pictures of actual people.
Mm-hmm.
And the photograph for us as the viewer separates us from reality, even though it presents reality to us. But for the photographer, that person is there. That person is, you know, your witness, even though the camera is a mediation between you and the experience. It's got to be emotionally very complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and have you heard from, you know, people who are Vietnamese, people who are there and who are, you know, participating in their world as being, you know, it was their country, not, you know, not the American experience, but the Vietnamese experience.
That's funny because I live next to Little Saigon, Westminster, and so I have talked to quite a few, and the character of Lynn, they responded to that a lot because they felt that it had given, you know, kind of a voice to the complexity of that, and they liked that I addressed the culture and the place and that I cared about it. And so I think, you know, regardless, it's not a political book, but I think that they felt that they had been given a voice, and that I had shown a part of their country and a part of the war. So that's been nice.
So do you have another book underway, or are you taking a break?
I do have another book. I'm working on another one, a total different. This was an overwhelming book to take on as a debut novel. I would say that ignorance is bliss, because the amount of research and the amount of getting a historical book correct and then taking on that kind of loaded subject matter took a long time. So this time I'm maybe I would say thematically it could be the same, but it's very contemporary, and it's set in an orange ranch in Southern California, and totally different challenges as a writer.
Well, it would be I'm going to be interested to read that one, because I think this is a sign of you being a really good writer. I hope, you know, obviously the second one is, it's hard in one way because you have to get over all of the stuff that went on in the first and kind of leap off the bridge and do another one.
Yeah.
But I think the signs are good anyway, because this first book is terrific.
Thank you.
And I really enjoyed reading it. I hope others will as well. This has been Writer's Cast. I've been talking to Tatiana Soli, the author of The Lotus Eaters, a novel. Thanks so much, Tatiana.
Thank you, David.